Crawford, Marion Stoll. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, December 29, 1904. Mrs. Marion Stoll Crawford, my dear sister, we are home again, and I am much pleased to be once more in my quiet retreat. For many months I have had no time to get rested. During the past year we have only spent 5 months in our pleasant home. Since last April, I have been traveling constantly and have spoken in public in a great many places. I have at times been greatly wearied, but when standing before the people, I have realized the keeping power of God. When I opened my lips to speak, the Holy Spirit would come upon me, and the Lord strengthened me as his witness. Everywhere I have gone, I have borne testimony that the truth which I now proclaim is the same that the Lord gave me after the passing of the time in 1844. We hold today the same unchangeable Bible truths that we held then, and these truths we are now to proclaim with greater assurance than at any previous period of our experience. We have the same message to repeat, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. As I speak the words the Lord has given me to speak, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth. The Lord Jesus presides in our assemblies, and our hearts are filled with a yearning desire for the conversion of souls. There is a great work to be done in our cities, many of which have as yet been scarcely touched. In Los Angeles, a good work has been going forward. Elder Simpson has been holding meetings in a large tent pitched near the business part of the city. Thousands have come to hear him, and he has proclaimed the truth with power, beseeching sinners to be reconciled to God. As a result of these meetings, a large number have been baptized. These are from all denominations. Some of them were Catholics. Elder Simpson explains the prophecies by the means of charts and makes it very plain that the end of all things is at hand. In some cases, entire families have taken their stand to obey God, as in 1844. All are brought over the ground from the beginning, and many believe as the prophecies relating to the past, present, and future are explained. Jewelry, which cost many hundreds of dollars, has been given to Elder Simpson to be sold for the cause. There is no spirit of excitement in this movement. No fanaticism attends it. The truth takes hold of hearts, and men and women give their rings and bracelets, although no call has been made for them to strip themselves of these idols. The work is earnest and quiet. The people take off their jewelry of their own free will and bring it to Elder Simpson as an offering up of their idols. Elder Simpson held meetings in Redlands and Riverside also, and a church was raised up in each of these places. Much interest was shown in the meetings, and souls were brought to a knowledge of the truth. But these two places have not received as much labor as Los Angeles, and more work needs to be done in them. Elder Simpson closed his second series of tent meetings in Los Angeles when we were there a few weeks ago. But the people were not willing to let this teacher of the gospel leave them, and he received a petition signed by a great many urging that he hold another series of meetings. The question as to whether he will do this is now under consideration. Meanwhile, he must take a rest for a few weeks. The Lord will let light shine upon his path to show him what to do next. The work that has been accomplished in Los Angeles by means of these tent meetings is what we may expect to see done in many places. The work has certainly borne the divine credentials. In the reception of the truth, all are not exercised in the same way. In some cases, the impression comes in the acknowledgement of their convictions and their determination to leave their sinful life. And they can speak and pray in social meetings. Then a more persuasive work is done in leading others to be reconciled to God. His going forth is prepared as the morning. Hosea 6, verse 3. The word of truth has made a deep impression upon minds, and a large number have taken their stand to obey the Lord's requirements. The Holy Spirit has borne witness to the efforts put forth. The great need now is personal labor with those who are newly converted. Wise men and women are needed to give counsel and encouragement, and to hold Bible readings, confirming the faith of those who have recently taken their stand.
While in Southern California, I spent 3 weeks at San Diego in the new sanitarium in Paradise Valley, which is soon to be opened for the reception of patients. The lack of water was the only thing against the use of this place for sanitarium purposes. I am glad to be able to tell you that an abundant supply of soft, pure water has been obtained. A well 95 feet deep has been dug on the lower part of the sanitarium land. When the workmen had gone down about 80 feet, they found some water, and they went on digging through the clay to the gravel below. One morning, Brother Palmer came to my room, his face full of joy, to tell me that a stream of water as big as his hand was running into the well. The next morning, there was 14 feet of water in the well. We all rejoiced to know that an abundance of water was now a certainty. This well is a treasure of more value than gold or silver or precious stones. After leaving San Diego, we spent several days at the Glendale Sanitarium, 8 miles from Los Angeles. We found the house filled with painters, plumbers, and carpenters. Preparations for the opening of the building were being hastened forward. I rejoice to think that these two sanitariums will soon be opened. I have felt a great burden for the advancement of sanitarium work in Southern California. I borrowed money to invest in the San Diego property that it might be secured. I would be glad to see a large work developed in Redlands. This is a most beautiful city, and additional efforts must be put forth there. Brother Ballinger lives there, and we spent several days with him and his wife at their home. I was able to speak to our people in Redlands on Sabbath morning. I spoke in the tasteful little church building that was built last spring, and as I stood in it, I was in anticipation making an addition to it. If Redlands is worked as it should be, a larger church building will be required, and I wish that a small sanitarium could be started there. The dinner bell is ringing, and I must go. Later. I will now try to finish your letter. Willie visited your brother Oswald Stowell. I wanted very much to go with him, but was too sick to leave my room. On my way to Southern California, I did much public speaking, at one time speaking every day for 4 days in succession. I caught a severe cold, and I was sick all the time I was in San Diego. Sister Marian Davis's death was felt very keenly by me. On our return from the East, we found her very sick. About a week after our return, she rallied, and for a few days we hoped for her recovery. But she failed very suddenly and died October 25th. We had planned to go to Los Angeles the day before, but felt that we must remain at home a day longer. We were very glad that we had decided thus, for the next morning at 7 o'clock, Marian lost consciousness, and she passed away at 4:30 that day. She was buried in the St. Helena Cemetery. On Friday morning, we left home for Southern California. On the way down, I caught a severe cold, from which I have not yet recovered. In closing, I wish to ask you if you can lend me the $1,000 for which I asked you several months ago. I will give you 6% interest. I am in great need of money to help in getting out Ministry of Healing. If you can do me this favor, let me know as soon as possible. Your sister.